Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Grace Nurture. I am your host, Danielle. Thank you all so much for tuning in on today. If it is your first time being here with us, we welcome you and invite you to continue joining us Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. Grace Nurture is a ministry of the Grace View Church of Christ, located in Stone Mountain, Georgia, where Brother Willie Bradshaw is minister. On today, our words of encouragement will be presented by Brother Ben Griffin. His message today is entitled, God Hasn't Forgotten You. It comes from Psalms chapter 73, verses 1 through 3. I don't know what you're doing, but I strongly advise that you stop, find yourselves a quiet corner, and prepare to listen to the words God has placed upon his heart to share with us all on today. Immediately following the message, he will close us out with a word of prayer. Brother Griffin, you are on the air.
Good morning, Sister Danielle, and thank you so kindly for the warm introduction. And I thank Grace View, Church of Christ, and also Grace Nurture Ministry for allowing me to be part of this ongoing, essential, and necessary ministry for encouraging those who are on the way to work, those who are rising from their bedside, those who are going through challenges of their life. Today's words of encouragement is taken from Psalms 73, 1 through 3. Throughout generations, children of God have felt that God has forsaken them and has given favor to the ungodly by allowing them to prosper. In contrast, seemingly, their children go without. We're reminded in the Psalms 37 that you never seen God feed begging bread. Now, despite a struggle that resonates with Christians in many eras of history, many believers are still challenged with walking by faith, fully trusting God to be living by sight. Today, many of us are being too reliant upon technology and the secular society to provide all the answers to life's problems. How did we get by before the internet or cell phone, iPads, and other gadgetry? There was a time when Christians would trust the Word of God as the final authority regarding matters of faith. But now, seeing what the internet says about a being is the standard rather than the Bible. Will we ever get back to taking God at his word? God has not stopped providing for his people now that technology and society has made things easier to do. Perhaps there is someone in history that can help us to understand that God is ultimately in control of all things. In Psalm 73, 1 through 3, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. As Asaph almost abandoned his faith in God because he envied the prosperous and wicked, he realized that the better choice in life was to live for God by faith rather than by sight regarding changed circumstances. Despite a struggle that resonated with Christians in many eras of history, many believers are still challenged with walking by faith and fully trusting in God to live it by sight. We need to realize that there are certain things that transpired in Asaph's life that perhaps can help us today. We need to realize that the fact that Christians get frustrated with life challenges is a reality. Yes, there are things that do occur that frustrates both you and I. As Asaph expressed his emotions and frustrating his experiences as a hardship, how does a lifestyle or the religion famous frustrate Christians? I recall a time when I used to get frustrated and I'd turn the channel and I'd try to watch the show, the lifestyle of the rich and famous. Yes, I will pass judgment as the thieves and robbers took from everybody else to have what they want. But as I grew older in the Word of God, I realized that there are those who are just fortunate in life. Businesses have blessed them, even though they may not worship God as I would. But that doesn't mean necessarily that they are thieves and robbers and take and steal to get what they want. I learned that from being in business that there are those who create businesses and fail in business and get 10 times as much work they put into the business, and they are able to buy yachts, 3 or 4 homes, just with our athletes. Just learn how to bounce a basketball or throw a football. You become a millionaire, and you can have a boat, a yacht, summer home, winter home, and out-of-the-country home. You can do all those things now. But yet still, what I've always observed is that oftentimes when we have all these substance and things, God generally is not in the forefront of your life. See, Asaph witnessed a celebration of sin of the ungodly when they should rather be ashamed of it and was pain for him to look at. In other words, he saw sinners celebrating because they were ignoring God, and this frustrated him. See, the ungodly also claimed that honoring God and obeying his word is a waste of time. Say, you got to go and get what you want. Stop waiting on the Lord. Go out there and find your fish. Go out there and make life happen for you. See, Asaph was a prophet. He was a preacher, so to speak, of God. He was a church leader in those days. And he was becoming frustrated because he seemed like all of his peers, we might call them then and now, was prospering. They wasn't worshiping God. They didn't go to church. They didn't revere the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Asaph did. Asa felt that his foot was about to slip. He wasn't getting anywhere in life. Even the children of God was disobedient. He was frustrated from trying to save them and cause them to be faithful to God. And all of those who were non-godly or ungodly seen they had all the luxuries and niceties of life. And Asa was on the sideline, witnesses and watches and watching their conduct and their lifestyle was just prospering. But what happened is Asa realized and admit that he was wrong for thinking and feeling as a defeated prophet of God. It wasn't until Asaph turned to the tabernacle of God, it wasn't until Asaph realized that he was wrong, that God had abandoned him. See, the fact that God understands and cares about our challenges in life is also reality. Asaph almost lost his faith in God. Bitterness and envy over what seemed to be an unfair situation led him to a spiritual crisis. He was going down, down, down spiritually because he kept bitter. He was bitter and he envied those who were around him because they had what he wished he should have had. Asaph recognized that his bitterness was a sin, something he can't confess. My question to us this morning, have you been at a point of giving up on God? What caused you to realize that God loves and still cares for you? Asaph had to go through the same scenario. He had to go through the same tunnel. He had to go through the same life challenge episodes that, yes, he was a prophet. He was a hand-picked special man of God. Now, also, we need to realize that rather than embrace cynicism and bitterness, he sought to better understand God. From that humble perspective, he remembered that wickedness does what wickedness does. In fact, usually result in earthly trouble. He realized that, yes, it just is only an appearance that they are prospering, but they are prospering because of wicked devices. He realized that their end is just around the corner, or their end is destined to be in the future. And if he's going to prosper as they did, he would have to do as they did. This was not in his DNA. He was not a wicked man. He was not a greedy man. But yes, he was an onlooker, and he became bitter and envious of those who were prospering. But they were prospering through wicked means. And so I'd like to ask us again, is it Christian to wish evil on the evil? No, it isn't. Or just let God handle things. See, I was getting embittered at a time, like I said, watching lifestyle, rich and famous, you know, God going to get them for that. But that is not the attitude. Now, the phrase we use today in modern terms, don't be haters. Well, there was a time I was being a hater. There was a time when Asa was being a hater. Now, he was no doubt despising their prospering, but I think he perhaps despised them as people as well. Maybe today we can despise the sinful lifestyle, but we can't despise the persons themselves. They are God's creatures. But the wicked devices that we can despise, we can hate how they are going about doing what they're doing, but not them as individuals. And it's hard sometimes to discern or distinguish the person from their act. And so Asa deeply acknowledged his grief and foolishness and through a display of repentance. That's what he did. He came to a point that he repented, that he felt the way he felt, that he allowed what he saw others accomplish to cause him to go into deep grief, and he changed. When was the last time you owned up to your mistakes of grieving, being foolish or envying, despising others because they had and you had none? Asaph's appropriate response to his behavior is a commitment to bring the Lord praise. When we get to the point that we feel that God has abandoned us, that's the time we need to praise God. That's what Asaph did. Have you learned to praise God even when things do not seem to go your way? Asaph recognized that his bitterness was sin, something he could confess, and he did. When was the last time you confessed your sin to God for your lack of trusting in him? What about us today? How many Asaph do we have among us? Though he saw God's faithfulness to Israel, Asaph struggled to understand why it seemed that the wicked people were so prosperous and healthy. Paul should remind us that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. As the psalmist said, fret not thyself because of evildoers, for they shall be cut down. As Isaiah told his audience, he that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And so on today, by ways of encouragement, let us take a great lesson from the prophet Asaph, who almost lost his faith in God because of bitterness and envy overwhelmed him to what seemed to be a successful people, but they really weren't. Now, this is not a new thing, because throughout history, people of God have felt that God has forsaken them and given favor to the ungodly by allowing them to prosper. We need to go away today with the understanding that this is not the case, that God has not forsaken us, that God has not forgotten you, that God loves you whether you have what you think you have or whether you don't. So let us keep this in mind as we live out our day on this day. Let us pray. Merciful God, we're so thankful for all that you are and all that you shall ever be. We want to remind ourselves that you have not forsaken us, that you know what we need more so than we would ever know what we need. You allow us to breathe air every day, to walk, have our health, our right mind, our sight, the utilization of our limbs. These are things that many can't say that they have. And so just recognizing these basic things in life should cause us to be grateful and thankful for being your child. Help us to understand, more so in the Father, how we've been blessed beyond measure. Allow us not to be envious and despise those who have, because we have not. Allow us to be as Asaph, who realized his undone condition and went about his right way to fix his circumstances. Guide us and keep us, Heavenly Father. This will be our truth today that we will live by. In your Son Christ's name we do pray. Amen.